We are in a series called 30 Days of Hope. He is risen, hope is rising. And I invite you, if you would, one more time, if you'd stand with me, please, and we're gonna read the scripture. It's really our theme verse for the series, because our hope ultimately is found in Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, can we read this out loud together and fill this place with the word of God? Everybody, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Can we give God praise for his word? Amen. Great expectation. Well, I think you can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water. But what about without water? But what about when it comes to hope? Well, one philosopher, theologian, he wrote this about the importance of hope. Lewis Mead said, "Hope is to our spirits what oxygen is to our lungs. Lose hope and you die. They may not bury you for a while, but without hope, you are dead inside." And that is why hope is so important. And that is why my prayer is that at the end of these 30 days, as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us put these principles into practice, that your hope will begin to soar, it will begin to rise, that like a kite that's lifted high by the wind, that your hope will be lifted high by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can begin to fly. I'm ready to fly. Say that with me. I'm ready to fly. Say it one more time. I'm ready to fly. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm ready to fly. And you can be seated. Now, last week we talked about keeping fuel in the tank if you're going to keep your hope meter high. Today, I want to talk to you about a second principle, and the second principle is about raising your aim. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to education, when it comes to career, when it comes to character, we have a beautiful legacy here at Cathedral of Faith. Our founding pastor, my dad, there were so many things about him that continue to live on in our church community. And one of them was that he had these statements, these sayings that just would get into your spirit. I remember them, and I'm gonna do, how about if we get interactive? I'll say the first part of the phrase, and if you've been here a while and you know the last part, go ahead and jump in. He said this, "Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed." That's right. Here's another one. "Frustrations are not final, mistakes are not fatal, and delays are not denials." That's awesome. You guys are rolling. Okay, here's one that could be a little tougher. It went like this. My dad would say, "I'd rather shoot for the stars and hit the top of a mountain than shoot at the top of the mountain and hit a telephone post." We have it. That's awesome. Shooting for the stars. It's in our DNA as Cathedral of Faith family. And over the next few moments, that's what I want to talk to you about. How can we be a people who raise our aim? And the question here today is, where does God want you to shoot for the stars and to raise your aim? It all starts with your imagination. Think about shooting for the stars as a new normal, as a new normal. Kids say the funniest things. And I saw this one child who was explaining to his mom what he wanted for breakfast. Watch the screens. You'll get a kick out of this.
"We don't have cookies for breakfast."
"But
No, I'm talking about that to be my appetizer.
Cookies as an appetizer. That makes great sense to me. I can remember when my oldest grandson, when he was just a little guy, he's working camera today, but he was just a little guy, and we were out at dinner one time, and I ordered a house salad. I should probably order more house salads. I did when I was out with him, and I'll never forget, the waiter brought out the salad, and my grandson, without missing a beat, said, "Where's the house?" Because he thought they were gonna bring out a house made of lettuce. And he began to tell the waiter how they could have put it together. And there was that creative imagination at work. What happens to it as we get a little older? You know, there was a researcher that he would go into schools and he would ask the first graders, how many are creative artists? And just about everybody would raise their hand. And then he would go into third grade and he asked the same question, how many are creative artists? And about half of the kids would raise their hands. And then he would go into sixth grade, and when he asked that question, how many creative artists are in the room, only a couple of the kids would raise their hand. He did this again and again and again with the same results. And it led him, this researcher, to this conclusion. He said, from the cradle to the grave, the pressure is on to be normal. But what if you and I are made for more than normal? If people settled for normal all the time, I wonder if we would have one of these. I read that when Steve Jobs was developing the iPhone, that he didn't want a plastic cover. He didn't like it. He thought it made it look cheap. But that's what you would normally do. You would put a plastic cover on the phone. Instead, he went to a glass company and he asked them, he said, do you have a glass that would work with my iPhone? And they said, no, we don't. We did develop technology back in the 60s. We called it Gorilla Glass, but we've never developed it. It doesn't exist. And he said, let's make it exist. I will take 1 million units. The normal thing would have been to put plastic on the phone. But sometimes we have to raise our aim and develop a new normal. That's what one young man in the Bible did. His name is David, and we looked at his story a few weeks ago. And David once decided that he wanted to go and face the giant. Now, this wasn't normal. The normal thing that everybody else was doing is they were hiding and they were afraid. That's what you normally did. But when David, he wants to face the giant, and he tells those who are normal that he's going to take on the giant, well, what do? They tell him not to do it. And anytime you are trying to shoot for the stars, you'll have somebody that tries to keep you on the launch pad and hold you back. But David wouldn't let them hold him back. Instead, he went onto the field and took down the giant. That was the new normal for him. And what if that became the new normal for us? What kind of giant are you facing? What if you decided that I'm not going to stand and cower in fear and hide in fear, but instead I'm going to step onto that field with the grace of God, and I'm going to take on that giant for the glory of God. That could be the new normal for us. Where is God wanting to raise your aim? That brings us to the next idea, and that has to do with receiving and expecting. Receiving and expecting. There is it's football season. I saw this one comic, and there's a husband all dressed up with his football stuff on, getting ready to watch a game, and the wife says, I hope you get to play today. And, you know, we love our football, don't we? There was a famous, really legendary football coach called Newt Rockne. He coached at Notre Dame many years ago, early days of college football. And there's lots of stories about Newt, so it's hard to know what's true and what's not. But one of the stories goes like this, that he was getting ready to host a big game. Notre Dame was playing a big game. I believe it was against USC. USC was coming to South Bend to face off with Notre Dame. And so Newt Rockne got an idea. He went into town and he found the biggest guys he could, full grown men. And he invited them to come out to the stadium. He put uniforms on them. And when the team ran out of the tunnel, they ran out with him. And they just stood on the sidelines. They didn't get in the game. They just stood there looking all big and bad. And what happened was this. The other team, when they came out and they saw those big guys on the sideline, it got in their head. They hadn't lost all year long. But seeing those guys, they thought they were getting ready for a beatdown. And they did lose. And the moral of that story is this, that expectations matter. Expectations are not all important, but they're not unimportant either. That oftentimes we don't get what we deserve, we get what we expect. And that's why it's important to raise your aim. There's something out there called hope theory. And the author, one of the researchers in hope theory says this. He said, expectation is more powerful than intelligence or talent when it comes to achievement. It's more powerful when it comes than talent or intelligence when it comes to achievement. Expectations aren't all important, but they're not unimportant either. And we see this played out in a famous Bible story. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the desert, and now they're on the edge of the promised land. And as they're on the edge of the promised land, Moses decides to send 12 spies out into the land to check it out. The spies come back. Two of the spies say, we can take the land. In fact, in Numbers chapter 13, we read this. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. That was their expectation. To put it another way, well, you can do it. Yeah, right? You can do it. Say it with me. You can do it. This is what they expected. And do you know that those two men, one day, they would receive what they expected. They would take possession of the promised land. Now, the 10 of the other spies, though, they went up to the land and they saw the challenges in the land and they didn't think that they could do it. They expected that they would be defeated. In fact, they say this. They say, as all the people we saw were huge, we even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Those giants, those guys that looked like they had shoulder pads on, even though they didn't, it got in their heads. They expected not to take the land. And do you know what? Those 10 spies got what they expected too. They never did possess the land. Now, here's the interesting thing. Watch this. Both groups had the same information. They had the same facts. They saw the same challenges. They saw the same blessings. One group chose one attitude. Another group chose a different attitude. And both of them got what they expected. That's why it's so important. Expectations are not all important, but they're not unimportant. Where does God want you to raise your aim today? Raise your aim. Say it with me. Raise your aim. Now that brings us to another idea, that really raising your aim is about having more heaven here on earth. More heaven here on earth. In fact, Michelangelo said this. He said, the greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. Where does God want to raise your aim? In the most important prayer in the Bible, if you're going to pray one prayer your entire life, make sure you pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Our Father. And in part of the Our Father, it really is about shooting for the stars and raising your aim. Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you say that with me? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that. We're praying that there can be more heaven right here on earth. I mean, Jesus came, he did come to get us into heaven. Can someone say amen to that? But he came to do even more, and that is to get more of heaven into us. Where could you use more heaven in your world? Jesus gave us a prayer, but he also gave us a picture. In Matthew chapter 13, he writes, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Someone took the seed and planted it in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows, it is the largest of all garden plants. It becomes a tree, and birds come and rest in its branches. Never underestimate the power of a seed. I have a mustard seed right here in my hand, and my guess is you can't even see it because it's so small. It's about 1 millimeter in size, about the size of a large grain of sand. I read that the country that grows the most mustard seed is Nepal, and that they use it quite a bit in cooking in Southeast Asia. But if you take this mustard seed and you plant it in the ground, this tiny little seed, that seed will grow and expand and increase. And Jesus says about heaven breaking into your world, it may start out small like a mustard seed, but it can grow and increase and expand. Raise your aim. Shoot for the stars. We know we will never have a perfect world until Jesus returns. We saw an example of that this week. When Jesus returns, thanks be to God, then there will be no difference between heaven and earth. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. We're looking forward to that day. Amen. But until then, we can still believe for more. More of heaven right here on earth. So again, let me ask you the question, but frame it a slightly different way. Where could you use more heaven in your world? We see more than just the way things are. We see the way things could be if heaven breaks in. St. Augustine said this about hope. He said, hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. And that's what our ministry partner, AIM, is doing. They see more than the way things are for these young girls. They see the way that things could be and should be if heaven was to break in. And AIM is rescuing them from the living hell they're stuck in and helping them find a hope and a future. God has a hope and a future for these young girls, and AIM is helping them to find that hope and find that future. That's what it looks like for heaven to break in. They're doing good work. They're doing God's work. And I just want to give it up to Matt and their team one more time. Can we let them know how much we appreciate what they're doing? That's what it looks like. So what would it look like for you in your world? Where could you use more heaven? Could you use it in your heart? Could you use it at work? Could you use it in your home? For example, if you're married, I saw this one couple and they said, I love being married. It's so great to find that one special person you can annoy for the rest of your life. So let's say, just being real, you look at your marriage today and, well, it's a bad marriage. What if you raised your aim to a not so bad marriage? Or if it's a not so bad marriage, what if you raised your aim to an average marriage? Or if it's an average marriage, what if you raised your aim to an above average marriage? Or if it's above average, what if you raised your aim to a pretty good marriage? Or if you're at a pretty good marriage, what if you raised your aim to a very good marriage? Or if you have a very good marriage, what if you raised your aim to a great marriage? That's really what this marriage conference is about. It's about bringing in this all-star cast of speakers so that we can have the tools we need to raise our aim when it comes to marriage. In fact, I've got a video of one of our speakers who's coming.
Expert wife tip. If your husband ever makes you mad or just gets on your nerves, pour a little oil under his truck.
Are you kidding?
This will keep him busy for hours as he tries to figure out where the leak is coming from. Like and follow for more expert wife tips.
I spent 3 hours under there last night.
She's actually not coming to our marriage conference, but that's not a bad tip. Here's the thing. I would encourage you, raise your aim when it comes to marriage. Join us at the marriage conference, me and my wife. We'd love to have you be a part. And that brings us to the final idea for the day, and that is coming out of the tent and looking at the stars. In Genesis 15, we read this about Abraham. Abraham was discouraged. God had given him a promise that he would one day have a child. And yet that promise had not come to pass. Has anybody else ever been there? They're in the waiting room. And one night, he's just discouraged. He's inside his tent, and he's in the tent of discouragement. And God shows up and speaks to him. And Abraham tells him that he's discouraged. Did you know you can be honest with God? That God can handle your honesty? He already knows what you're thinking and feeling. Go ahead and be honest with him. Abraham's honest and tells him, you promised me a child, I still don't have it. And what does God do? God brings him out of the tent to look at the stars. The Bible says the Lord took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky. Look at the sky. Count the stars if you can. Then he said to him, that's how many children will be born into your family. Abram believed the Lord. Say that with me. Abram believed the Lord. Yeah, let's give God praise. Amen. God meets us in this moment. So let me ask you a question. Are you in the tent of discouragement? We're all there at one time or the other, another. Maybe today you're in the tent of discouragement, and you believe that things will just never change. You'll never break this addiction, or you'll never be able to control your temper, or you'll never be able to overcome your lust, or you'll never see your kids come back to God, or you'll never see your marriage improve, or you'll never see your career take off, or you'll never be able to lead your neighbor to Christ. You're just in the tent of discouragement. What if God brought you this morning? What if you're not here by accident or chance? What if God brought you here to step out of the tent of discouragement and to look up at the stars and to begin to hope again, to begin to believe again? That's what one young lady did. Over in the Philippines, Rosella, she was born, she wasn't blind at birth, but at 6 years old, she had a condition and it was mixed with medication and she became blind as a result of that. And when that happened, you could see how she would get bitter, how she would get discouraged, how she would feel that there was a lid on what she could achieve. But instead, she went to school. She went to college. And she was getting ready to graduate with honors over in Manila, even though she was blind. Here she was getting ready to graduate with honors in math. And in talking about the upcoming graduation, listen to what she has to say. Even though she was blind, she was still able to see the stars.
Rosel is set to graduate with top honors from her alma mater.
I believe that as of now, my greatest contribution is to be able to finish with honors. In that way, I'll be able to represent the whole blind community. I've always told them that for the blind, we have just lost our sight, not our guts and our brains. So one shouldn't think that we could not perform as well as others will. If ever I'd be asked to give a speech on graduation day, I'd probably talk about overcoming one's limitations. In overcoming these limitations, it is always with the help of God. I guess I would draw inspiration from the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where the Lord would say, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will boast most gladly of my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ be with me. I believe that everybody has his or her own disability. It may be physical, mental, psychological, emotional, financial even. But these are just challenges to us that have purpose. And all we have to do is to know what does God plan for us and what does he want us to do.
Amen. What a tremendous example of shooting for the stars. Friend, we don't want more than what God has for us, but we don't want less than what God has for us either. And so, where does God want to raise your aim? To begin to believe. Jesus once said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. What are you believing for today? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? If you would say, hey, Pastor Ken, I'm in the tent of discouragement. For one reason or another, you're just discouraged. And your hope level is not very high today. I want to pray with you and pray for you as we're honest before God. Would you lift up your hand real high and just say, Pastor Ken, that's me today. God bless you. 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 Heavenly Father, I come before you with our cathedral family, friends, those who are watching online, those who are outside the building. God, you see where we're at. We live in a world that can just beat the hope right out of your heart. But today, God, we turn to you in our discouragement. We step out of the tent and we look at the stars and we remind ourselves that because of you, we can live with great expectation. And so, God, we lift up our eyes again to you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit nudging us with new vision. That, God, we can begin to dream again. I pray that you would reignite dreams in the hearts of those at Cathedral. Let them be able to see more than just what is, but to see what can be when heaven breaks in. Jesus, you are the one who keeps hope alive. And we pray this in your name and for your glory. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen.